You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. The first one tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is coming out of Michigan. I lived there. I lived in Michigan. I got family there. I liked Michigan, but I was in the area just out of Flint called Lapeer, and it was my family is wonderful, and I always loved being out there. But as far as the scenery around there, I never thought it was really, really striking, but I know there's some incredibly beautiful places in Michigan. And have a lot of good memories. Some of them I actually remember. Some of them I hear about because I partied really hard when I was there. So there, I have memories from there, but not all of them are ones that I remember. They're just things I hear about at family gatherings. So, all right. So Michigan, what's going on in Michigan? I was maybe 7 to 10 years old. That's quite a spread. When around Christmas time, I had spent the night at my Aunt Lori's house to be with my cousins. I was sleeping on the couch and my cousin Emily on another. My Aunt Lori's rocking chair was at the head of the couch, and I was sleeping on the couch that I was sleeping on. I'm sorry, that was one sentence. I broke it up. My cousin was across the living room. I had fallen asleep and awoke at the sound of the chair clunking. It made very loud noises when it was rocked, and I turned my head around to see who was rocking the chair, but no one was there. I got off the couch and touched the part where your butt would be, and it was cold, and I was so scared. I then said to whoever was rocking the chair, "Please stop, you're scaring me." But it wouldn't stop. I went to go wake my aunt, Lori, and she had come out of the room, and the chair stopped, and she said, "Nothing's wrong, Rachel, go back to bed." Nice. And as soon as her door had closed, the chair began to rock again. At this point, I was scared, and I thought that if it was a nice ghost or my grandma Helen, they would have stopped. I woke my cousin Emily to go to the next room, but she didn't even seem to notice the chair was even rocking. When we get to her room and close the door, the chair began to rock harder and harder, almost violent rocking. I don't know how, but I did go... But I went to sleep that night, and I think that's the most scared I've ever been in my entire life. I'm now 16, and it even bothers me to this day. I always wanted to find out who was rocking that chair that night. Oh, that's got to be really harsh for a 7 to 10-year-old to deal with. And that's, you know, that's kind of a rude thing. I mean, really, that's a pretty rude thing for any spirit to do. So, I mean, nothing really malicious happened, but it's still the idea that, oh, it's this scares you? Oh, really? Does this scare you? Oh, well, no, you don't like this? It's like, God, stop it. But anyway. All right, let's get to Kentucky, which is next on our list. And I don't know if I've ever been to Kentucky. I know some people out of Kentucky, but never been there. Not that the portal is my travel journal, but I don't know. I think I've driven through there. So last night was not the first, but the third attack I've experienced so far. Let me explain, and if anyone can give me a good explanation, I would really love to hear it. I went to bed, and this has happened two other times. I'm going to stress that I was not yet asleep. I just turned off the TV and rolled over on my stomach, and within seconds, I was literally held down. I can't get up. I can't scream for help, but I can moan loudly, like someone is holding my mouth shut. My husband said he heard me moaning several times and got up to see what was wrong, but I seemed to be just fitfully moving around in my sleep. I was not asleep. I have never been held by anyone like this in my life. And as I know, I wasn't asleep. What could it be? Then when it finally lets me go, I'm sweating profusely, shaking and crying. I'm rather open to suggestions, but I will tell you this isn't a one-time thing. Also, in the same house, we've seen a little girl playing in my daughter's room on an infrared monitor we use. Oh, that'd be great footage. When I ran to check my daughter, my husband said she just disappeared. We actually thought it was my daughter at first, and when what held me down just couldn't be that little girl, could it? If it's a little girl, probably not. But if it looks like a little girl and is in fact not a little girl, then probably. I wouldn't say I've ever dwelled on ghosts and spirits, but I am starting to wonder just what is in this house. Could it in fact harm me or anyone else? And how do I know if it becomes too dangerous? You'll know if it feels dangerous, I guess. If it's holding you down, that's a demonstration of force. I mean, that's meant to inspire fear. And I don't know if it's actually a physical holding down or if they just really take over your energy or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how they accomplish this, but I imagine it's, I don't know if it's even an oppression or a possession would fit, but it's like perhaps they're creating an illusion in our minds somehow, like maybe a very strong telepathic suggestion that you can't move. If you've ever watched people being hypnotized, they can do surgery on people that are hypnotized due to the power of suggestion. Now, we know that with hypnosis, generally it's an audible thing, and we are used to receiving information audibly. But what if these spirits, in cases like this, are really just telepathically sending a subconscious suggestion? I mean, perhaps that's what it is, and perhaps if you're dealing with a really negative spirit or spirits, probably perhaps that's why a lot of esoteric and occult practices deal with you mastering yourself, you know, because if you're dealing with strong, powerful, conscious energies, you know, you don't want to be manipulated and caused to serve something. So, but I wonder about that. I mean, clearly we know that spirits can manipulate objects. They can physically slam doors. They can, you know, throw people across a room. It's been, you know, experienced many times. I've read thousands of stories that include people being affected, scratched, bit, harmed. I mean, clearly they can do those kind of things physically, and perhaps it is indeed a physical attack, like a telekinesis kind of thing. But maybe it isn't, because I think a lot of these sleep paralysis things are being done not necessarily by demonic things, but just dark things. And no, dark things are no small matter, but or it could be, you know, for other reasons. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I do believe that things like demons have an extraordinary amount of power and could potentially do physical things like that all day long. But most spirits don't have that kind of energy to affect the, you know, the living realm so deeply. And so that's what makes me think, well, if it isn't demonic, perhaps it is just a dark spirit trying to drain your energy, but it can't do it by physically slamming you to the bed and holding you, but maybe it gives you the impression that you're being held. It gives you that telepathic suggestion, or which, you know, manifests itself, you know, through your conscious mind. I don't know. It's very strange. And I kind of stopped the story there. I know if it happened to me, and it was to happen to one of my children, I worry if they would be able to handle what's happened. I guess I'm most worried because it actually took my breath at like a minute at a time. I've lived in this house for 29 years. Little things happened before now, but now it's gotten worse. Any help? I don't know how old your children are. I don't know if you've brought things into the house that could have that kind of attachment. I mean, it's a dark thing. That kind of stuff is definitely a dark thing, but, you know, I don't, you know, you can never understand the intensity of a spirit or power of a spirit just by a quick narrative. It could just be a spirit that's mad and is trying to lash out. It could be a spirit that's confused and is lashing out. It doesn't always have to be a demonic or dark thing, but in any case, it's an aggressive act, and that person should definitely deal with that quickly. All right, let's continue. All right, so this one's coming out of Washington, which is right next door, and I've been there. let's see. I want to check something. No calls yet. That's fine. It's not a requirement, but it is available. And we got a bunch of you guys here. Thanks. A lot of you guys are here watching the show. Thank you so much. So out of Washington, our entire family has been plagued by a ghost of some sort for a while. Because it seems almost impossible to fall down the stairs, even if you start to, you're always able to stop. However, if you go up the stairs, at least 45% of the time, you trip. Sometimes I go up the stairs and I know I've cleared the stair, and after that thought, I trip up the stairs. That was before my uncle's committed suicide in our garage. It still happens, but now other things happen. There are times when you'll feel watched when you're playing on the computer, and you'll feel it, then it will go away, and even if you turn around, nothing is there. Always behind the computer on the wall, if the light is on you, sometimes see a shadow go across. And personally, I have seen a shadow man in our giant upstairs window, and he was really dark against a white wall. And I saw him in the window, and he stood there, then turned the corner and left. I jumped up and turned the corner as well, and the man didn't run, and I did. If he was there, I would have seen him. I didn't see him. Once my cat was sitting on a chair when the screen door flew open. He went out, and I closed the door and went to tell my father. When I got back, the cat was inside, and the door was open again. My father's uncle loved cats, and I could see him letting them in and out. And once my mother told the ghosts to leave, and for a while nothing happened. Then one day, the screen door flew open, and my dad said, "Come in," and we've noticed them again. All right, the next one is from Ohio. Let's see. It is two parts. This one's pretty long, but it looks like a goodie, so let's see what's going on in Ohio. Again, D, what's going on with your state? Diane lives in Ohio, and I swear to God, there's more stuff going on in Ohio than anywhere in the U.S. They've got UFOs. They've got the Grassman, which is their version of Bigfoot, and they call it the Grassman because they find these huge, basically these huge nests that are made out of wild grasses. And it sounds really like a grade 8 behavior, but they are a version of Bigfoot and or Sasquatch or whatever you want to call them. And they have a hell of a lot of hauntings. And I don't know what's going on in Ohio. Perhaps there's a lot of lay energy running through there or something. I don't know. I know there's a lot of waterways and stuff there, and that can certainly do it, but this is a lot of stuff for one state. And I want to look at a map once. Let's look. I want to just see what's going on in Ohio. Map of the U.S. All right, let's pull one up here. Let's find one that shows a little more of the features. Hold on a sec. Let me find one. Because I'm interested, you know. It's like so much is going on in Ohio, and what is it about that? Now, you know, there are many people that attribute a lot of spiritual activity with high limestone deposits, because in limestones there's a lot of quartz, and quartz is an amplifier of energy. So it's maybe there's a whole bunch there. I mean, I think the whole Midwest is pretty much full of limestone, though, so I wouldn't know that would be necessarily a key to that activity, but it is curious that so much stuff would be going on there, and perhaps a lot of stuff went on there for, you know, a long, long time. I don't know. Perhaps there's First Nations experienced a lot of stuff in those areas as well. I don't know a whole lot about the history of, you know, pretty much any state, to be honest with you. I was never a strong studier of history. A studier. That just came right out, ladies and gentlemen. You can't make up this kind of language. But apparently I do. Let's see. And here's kind of a good one, I guess. Let's see. Ohio's over here. That's Indiana. Yeah. Let's see if I can make it big. I'm looking. That's not too big. But I'll put it up on the screen here, and we can look at it. And just see if, well, it's not very big, though. Good. Oh, I guess I can zoom in. Okay, let me put it up on screen here and see what we can find out about Ohio. Now, Ohio is over here, right? You see the magnifying glass is right over that state. I hope that's Ohio, and I'm not really embarrassing myself here, but, you know, you got the Great Lake right above it. You've got a ton of stuff. It's right on the edge of those, I believe those are the Smoky Mountains. Maybe not. Maybe that's the part where I'm going to embarrass myself. I don't know if that's the Appalachian Mountains or what. But I don't know. It's right on the, is that Lake Erie? I don't know. But there's something going on in Ohio. And, all right, I don't know. That's Ohio, though, ladies and gentlemen. And that's where a lot of stuff breaks off in Ohio. Very paranormally supercharged and supernatural supercharged as well. But they got everything there. Everything's going on in Ohio. And honestly, we see it come up so often on the show. And I'm like, what the hell is going on in Ohio? All right, so this is Ohio. This story is a two-part, both taking place in my childhood. As I've said before, I've experienced things as long as I can remember, which my memory is quite extensive. The first part took place in a town called Brilliant. Is there a town called Brilliant? My family and I lived in a duplex when I was 2 years old up until I was three. Yeah, I know some don't start containing memory until after this age, but not in my case. I guess you could say it is because of the type of memories. It was morning and my mother was hassling with my older sister to get ready for school. My sister's worst nightmare, you could say. My sister and I shared a room at the time, and I was playing in our upstairs bedroom while Amy, my sister, was fixing her hair. She finished quickly and left the room. And as she did, the bedroom door slammed shut and locked with me still inside of it. Now, being only 2 years old, I was unable to reach the door handle to help myself, and I immediately started screaming and crying. My mother rushed up the stairs to the door with my sister at her side. My mom automatically assumed that Amy had locked me in the room because of her rotten streak. And my mom quickly got a screwdriver and was trying to pry open the heavy wooden door to get to me, but the lock wouldn't budge. There was never a key to that door either. 10 minutes passed of my screaming and my mother trying to get into the door, getting the door free, and all of a sudden, as I sat there on the floor waiting for the lock, or waiting, the lock just flipped open with no explanation as to why. The door swung open. My mother had a look of surprise on her face, and she was still on her knees trying to open it with the screwdriver. Until this day, my mother says it was my sister who locked the door, but I know better. The question is, if something locked me in there, why did it let me out, or was it something else? After that day, I remember talking to things, and my mother said weren't there. One in the basement, and one in my room. I can't remember exactly what I all said to these things. I just remember one sentence that scared the living daylights out of my mother. While standing close to the basement door, which was in the kitchen, where my mother was with me, I said, "Mommy, I don't want to help with the laundry because the man behind the steps will get me." And also I remember in the mornings that I was let out of my crib by someone that wasn't seen by anyone else. My mother would always wonder how I got out, so she watched me one morning. She tells this story today of how I was sleeping soundly as the crib door gently slid down, and I awoke 5 minutes later and climbed down the bars and was on my way to breakfast. All my life, I've encountered these things and still do. For all the moms out there that believe their child has an imaginary friend, think again. Some call me tortured, some call me blessed, but to myself, I'm just trying to live with the images I've seen. As I stated in the first part of this, I've seen things and remember since the age of 2. This story takes place at the age of 5 in a place called Salt Run Road. I was living with my family in a large trailer, and I say this because it was quite large and extravagant for being what most would call a trailer, and it was late on a summer night, and it was bath time for me. I always enjoyed bathing in my parents' master bedroom due to the large tub, and for most kids, bath time was horrible, but for me, I saw it as a lot of fun. I was in the tub mucking around with bubbles and bath toys, and my mom was in the kitchen finishing up the dinner and dishes and was in no way visible to me or vice versa. To give you an idea what the bathroom was like for later in the story, it was large, a large room with a spa tub and a standing shower on the other side of the room. Now, when you would walk into this bathroom, the shower is behind the door to come in and the tub to the far side. In the midst of my bath, I happened to look towards the shower, and I was frightened out of my mind at what I had seen. The shower curtain began to draw back by a set of fingers that looked as if they were burned, almost like a hot dog that was made on the grill, and now everyone knows that a hot dog, if cooked too long, has flaky burnt pieces on it. The fingers I saw had the same effect, but ended with long nails. As the curtain went further to reveal the figure behind, I began to scream for my mother. I could indeed see that it was a woman with a strange glow around her. It took my mother a few minutes to hear my screaming due to the distance away, and she finally heard me and came running into the bathroom. And I'm glad she did at that time because I knew the woman in the shower was going to come out. And all I could reply to my mother were the words, there's a witch in the shower. My mother exasperatedly said, finish your bath and get out. I continued to beg and plead with her to look in the shower, telling her that someone was in there. Now, with the door to the bathroom being open, my view of the shower was completely gone, and my mother finally gave in to me and checked the shower. And she was oddly surprised to find traces of ash on the shower floor. Thinking it was strange, she remained in the room until I was through with my bath, and we both knew it couldn't have been my sister playing a prank because she would have been spotted exiting the room by me and my mother. Later that night, or after that night, bath time was like being sent to my room without supper. It never appeared again, though I do have a fear of closed shower curtains whenever I enter their bathroom. If the shower curtain is closed, I immediately open it just to be curious, or to be cautious. Wow, that sounds like a very gifted person. She needs some guidance, I think, though. I don't know how long before this was written, how old this person is now, but maybe they've got it all dialed in. But that's got to be extra tough for a young kid. Now, the hard part, again, is, you know, kids need, especially at that young age, they need the parents to listen. You know, whether it's a rational fear or irrational fear, you still have to, you know, talk them through it. You know, find out what they saw, find out what they're experiencing, find out ways to address it that doesn't shut them down. I just think that's so important because, you know, so many gifted people have been shut down by parents just trying to do the right thing. And I'm not condemning the parents. I mean, you know, for us, it can seem just like ridiculousness, like, oh, you know, whatever, get out of the, you know, quit playing around. You know, we like to, because we don't experience the same thing, we just want to shut that down because it's inconvenient. It's, you know, we think it's just our children being imaginative or wasting time or whatever, but, you know, they definitely experience something many times or a lot of times. And now kids do have extraordinary imaginations, and I get that, but I think it's just important to be cautious when addressing those with children. It's like, never utter the words, there's no monster. Never utter the words, it's all in your head. You know, instead try to talk them through it. Well, what are you seeing? You know, what is it doing? What is going on? And then say, you know, does it scare you? You know, talk to them and help them come to terms with what they're seeing and make them feel safe. I think that, you know, a lot of times when these kids are experiencing these things, they're already terrified. They're already experiencing something they can't possibly wrap their heads around. And then to be shut down by a parent that's supposed to make them feel better, you know, that's got to be, you know, then they're suffering alone because they don't even feel like they can reach out for help dealing with it. So, you know, take care of those babies. That's all I got to say. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey, guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. All right, the next one is coming from Virginia. How do I explain what I experienced this morning? My nerves are still shot, but I will try. I spent the night at my boyfriend's house, and we had just went to bed around 2 a.m. last night, and we left the door cracked so his cat would be able to come in and go out as needed, and we set the alarm on his cell phone to wake us up at 5 a.m. to unlock the front door of the house. His sister was working a night shift, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and she needed a way in. I woke to the alarm going off at exactly 5, and I woke my boyfriend, and he proceeded to get up and unlock the door, and he then went to the bathroom, and his cat was sleeping like a rock beside me. It only took several minutes. He shut the door and jumped back into bed, and I happened to turn my head and look at the clock in his room. It was only 5:04, and all of a sudden I heard two loud knocks on his bedroom door, and the door started to slowly open. Being half asleep, I assumed it was his sister, but I started thinking she didn't get off until 6. I nudge my boyfriend, and suddenly his cat wakes up and starts meowing at the door. The cat jumps on the shelf next to the open door, and the cat's cries get louder. My boyfriend touches my shoulder and whispers in my ear, "I don't want to scare you, but I think someone's in the house. Someone just reached out and touched Copper, the cat, and knocked." I completely was frozen. I figured we were going to get killed, mugged, or whatever else, and the cat runs through the house, meowing at whoever it is, and my boyfriend got up, and I followed. And we hid behind the now open door of his room, and we jumped from it behind the door and ran towards his sister's bedroom, which had a revolver and a 38 in the closet. As soon as we hit the room, we slammed the door and heard a very loud running and beating through the house. Thank God I grabbed his cell phone and called. He called 911, and a police officer arrived within minutes. He searched the house and found nothing. His sister arrived shortly after, and him and her searched the house again, found nothing. How did someone run into our house within the 3 minutes of my boyfriend unlocking the door and using the bathroom? His cat is scared of everyone but me and his sister. Why did the cat run after something or someone? If it was someone robbing us, why would they knock? And they didn't take anything. I am so freaking scared. I have to go to work today and I haven't had any sleep. I can't sleep. I honestly believe in ghosts now. And I've never been so scared in my life. Yeah, that's intense. Very intense. Coming out of Alabama. Not real long. This happened on July 14th of 2007, ladies and gentlemen. Way back in 2007, I remember it well. We just finished up with a youth revival at my church, and this night, God had called for a prayer line, and everybody under the age of 40 in the church. We experienced a great move of Him that night. I gained a lot of joy that night, too, and I felt good about myself and stronger in my faith than I ever felt. Well, that night, when I got home, I was fine. I got on MySpace. It was 2007, after all. And was talking to my friend, and I went to bed around 11:40 p.m., and I wasn't very sleepy, so I decided to watch a movie. And when the movie went off at around 1:40 a.m., I turned off the television and my lamp, rolled over and faced the wall, and closed my eyes. I guess no longer than 5 minutes after I did that, I heard something in the corner behind the TV that started from the ceiling and fell. And it sounded like something sort of scratching against the wall. And then I felt something against my hip. I felt like something lightly thumped me. Before I go on, I need to describe the layout of my room. My bed lays in the corner of the room between two windows on either wall that is touching. One window faces the road and the other the woods. And while I had my eyes tightly shut at this point, and I didn't want to open my eyes or even move, though I was shaking. The next thing that happened was I saw lights through my eyes, even though my eyes were shut. First, I saw two lights from the corner of my room just slightly past the window that faces the road. Then I saw another coming straight across to my face from the wall. And if you've ever had someone shine a flashlight in your eyes while they were shut, you know what these lights look like. The whole time these lights were occurring, I just felt like there was something evil in my room. I opened my eyes and got out of bed, and as soon as I got out of my room, I felt much better. I went and crawled in the bed with my parents, and I was still shaking, and I now have two prayer clothes in my room. Or cloths. It must be cloths, but it says clothes. I later found out that demons had been attacking all of our youth. Most of our youth sit in one area, and our pews in the church, and I found out that one of the girls in their youth had seen a demon circling that area. That next day, I finally told my mother, and she went in there to pray and got goosebumps walking down the hall. I shook every time I went down that way. And by that afternoon, I was afraid to go in there anymore. But that night, I didn't want to sleep in there. My mother stayed with me, stayed in there with me until I fell asleep. Tonight I still don't want to go in there, but I have to. I ask for your prayers and our youth at WCOG, please. We need it as we are trying to grow like God had promised us. Well, that's wonderful, and I'm sorry that it's such a terrible thing. That is absolutely scary. But let's get to our first call. And this is area code 586. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Brett. This is Gemini from the chat.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I had a really busy day, but I'm always good when I'm doing the portal. This is one of my favorite parts of the day.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too. So I thought I'd call in and share a story that happened to me quite a few years ago, maybe about 15 years ago. I was living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in a very old apartment building. Beautiful, very quaint. Strange things happened there. Not too bad, but one night I was sleeping, and I woke up quite early with something hitting my energy field. It felt like it was like a paintball game, but nothing was penetrating and getting through to me. So I decided to kind of pop up to my third eye to see what is going on here. And to my surprise, what I saw was glowing jellyfish. They were like almost octopuses, and they were shooting energy balls trying to get through my aura.
That's really interesting.
And when it was strange. Right. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
What are you guys doing?
Right.
And so first there was one. Then there was another one behind me. And then another one developed on the side.
So there's a bunch.
And I thought, this is kind of serious.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I kind of came back into the third dimension, if you will, and kind of took control. So I put mirrors all around me, and then I started shooting them actually with my energy balls. And I'm like, if you guys want to play, I can play with you, but you're not going to like how this is going to go. And I just started shooting with my hand. I went back up into my third eye, and I went with my hand and started shooting energy back at them and blowing them back into the ocean. I'm like, bye-bye now. But the weirdest thing is that they were glowing.
Yeah.
I've never seen bad like electricity. They were hitting me with electricity. It was very bizarre.
You know, that's really strange, but I have to tell you that as you're explaining this, I know I've heard of this phenomenon before, and I don't remember where, and I don't remember the context, but I just wrote a note that I'm going to definitely look into it and see if I can figure out where I've heard of those kind of spiritual attacks before. That's really crazy, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was the only time it ever happened. I wasn't really afraid of them. I think I was just more surprised. Like, you guys are jellyfish, and you're glowing, and you're shooting me with balls of energy.
Right.
I'm like, are you serious? To me, it was like inconceivable. So I just started playing back with them and they just left.
Right. Oh, wow. That's crazy. And Annette in the chat room just said, Chris Gio has mentioned these energies, and that's where maybe I heard about it before. That's really curious. And I'm going to have to talk to him about that. But, that is really a powerful thing, and very cool that you were able to drive them off and take care of yourself.
Yeah, I didn't even know how I knew what to do, but like I said, I really wasn't afraid, but I was like, oh, you guys want to play? I got a lot of energy to come your way. And it was just like, they're like, okay, we're out of here. You know, they didn't want to play anymore, but yeah, I just thought that was an interesting story.
It is really, really cool. And, you know, I think it speaks a lot of spiritual development. Like, as we develop, as we grow our energy and our understanding and our aura and all of those things, of course, the aura is, Jeffrey Seelman has said, you know, that's like a shield that protects you. And, you know, you want to keep that strong and imagine it, you know, growing and expanding. But I think that things like that may be devastating on people that haven't started that journey or are, you know, very new into that journey. And, of course, that kind of assault would be really harsh. But as you grow and develop, it does. It feels like a game, like, oh, really? You sure you want to go there?
Exactly.
Right, because you're not going to be susceptible to those same energies as you grow and develop that you may have once been. And you know, I think as we're reading these stories and hear about all these children, you know, my heart really goes out to them, because children, of course, have very potent energy, but they don't have the understanding and they don't know how to process that kind of thing. So that, you know, I hope you really wiped them out and took care of that issue. Yeah. So you never experienced that again?
Yeah, they haven't been back.
Okay.
They haven't been back.
And how long ago was this? Do you mind me asking?
This was about 15 years ago. It was a while ago.
And were you already on your journey as far as, you know, development? And
yeah.
Clearly, I mean, because you're talking about going into the third eye and all of that. So that's really powerful and amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
be well, my friend.
Oh, you as well. Thank you so much as well. And good night.
Good night.
Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. Very cool, and we got another call here, and this is our good friend Haxer's calling in. How you doing, brother?
Hey there, Brent. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, great. Well, I only call if I have a reason.
Oh, sure.
Okay, I have a reason.
Okay.
All right. Have you ever heard of the psychomantium?
Yes, I have. That's the, the mirror gazing?
Well, what it is, from what I understand, it's a method of contacting the dead. Mm-hmm. And I almost want to challenge all of our psychics and ghost hunters to probably look into this psychomantium. It's really cheap to probably build, but basically what this stems from is the Greek necromantian, which translates to Oracle of the Dead. And it was a popular method of contacting spirits. So basically you could contact the dead.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And how you use it is basically in a room blocked of all sunlight, you place a chair in front of a large mirror hung on a wall. Mm-hmm. Which is tilted forward at a 45-degree angle, so it obscures your own reflection. Mm-hmm. Behind the chair, put a low wattage lamp, which will replicate a single candle. Mm-hmm. And then seat yourself looking at the mirror and focus on a loved one who passed, and then the gazing session begins.
Right. Yeah, it's very,
and apparently,
very powerful.
It's got a pretty outstanding number for paranormal stuff. About 10% of the subjects that tried this actually changed their life, or what they said. Sometimes they'd actually talk to the dead or changed what they consider their elements of physicality.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. It's a very, very powerful method of scrying, and it's been around even before the Greeks, but you're right. It was used there, but There's apparently references to it back even into ancient Egypt. So that's
oh yeah,
for something that's been around that long. And you're right, and even any of you out there can certainly try it, whether or not you know that you have psychic abilities. The amount of people successfully using it, as you said, is really impressive, and with repeated attempts, I think that number would certainly go up. That eventually, if you get into that right state, and I think it is a very visual kind of almost meditation and channeling combined into one. But again, I would encourage anyone doing this to make sure to set their scene, cleanse, sage, and, you know, put up significant protections that resonate with your spirituality, because, you know, you don't want to have a bad experience.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that's amazing, and I thank you for bringing that up, because that is a really powerful thing. And it's not something I've tried myself, but it's something that I always intended to, but have just, you know, life happens. Life keeps happening, and I keep not getting those opportunities, or not making those opportunities, I should say. But very powerful, very cool. And as far as a low wattage light bulb, ladies and gentlemen, 5 watts is pretty good. So, like, basically like a nightlight, you know, behind you, and your eyes will adjust. It'll seem incredibly dark at first, but after your eyes adjust, it really seems incredibly bright.
Yeah, exactly. No, I just never heard this brought up on the show, and
yeah,
you know, it is very paranormal what this is about. So I just thought, hey, let me throw this out to you, and of course, I know Jim's going to probably follow this up with Psychomantrium now on Costco for $150. But hey,
well, you know, either Deb or Jim will do it. Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway, I just want to see what they think of it and have them try it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, brother. And I thank you, because I really love the content that you bring to the show. And it's, you're right, there's things like that we could discuss more. And I should probably do a little more research and homework for people that are interested in those kind of techniques and present them on the show. The part that I guess personally is, I don't want to influence anybody's spirituality or beliefs. You know, I don't think that's my place, but I think that this isn't really tied to spirituality. It's not really an occult kind of practice. It's just a practice of calming and relaxing, and with intention meditating towards the communication you want to have. And it's, from what I understand, it's been an incredibly beautiful experience for a lot of people, and has caused a lot of healing for people that may be wrestling with the passing of a loved one and not able to move past it, that after, you know, doing a psychomantium session or two or three or whatever it took for them to actually make the contact, that it was incredibly cathartic and healing and very strong and powerful.
Precisely, yeah.
Wow, brother.
So anyway, that's all I thought I'd do was, you know, I always look at this stuff when it's like my free time. I'm not concentrating on what I'm doing for my business and so forth. I just kind of escape a little bit and look at all the weird stuff that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and if it looks interesting enough, I share it with you.
Well, I really appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for bringing your knowledge to the show. That's awesome.
All right. Well, thanks, Brent, and have a great night.
All right. You as well. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
I can't tell you how much I love having this phone lights all the time. This is so amazing. You know, it's just, it really closes another gap that I always felt was there between myself and you guys out there listening. And then, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's only active during the live shows, so that, you know, people don't get the idea to try to call if they're watching the replay on YouTube or something. But it's just really great to be able to close that distance and to hear your thoughts as they're occurring, because I think that just, you know, makes the show so powerful. Your guys' involvement brings so much to the show. You know, I as a host can do only so much, but when you guys get involved and share your stuff, then it just really strengthens the whole community of this. So thank you guys. Thank you for those of you that just called in. That's amazing. All right. So let's see what's going on in Missouri, because this one's coming out of Missouri. Before I begin, foul language is hard to avoid with my experience, because it is essential to the actual dialogue. It's going to be hard for me to read as well. I'll have to figure out a way of rephrasing things here. So I have abbreviated words that were not allowed. I've only experienced what I believe to be a ghost only once when I was 12 years old. My old house had a finished basement, which my brother, 10 years old, and I used as our playroom. Foul language was very discouraged in my house, so my brother and I would cuss as much as possible when my parents were not around. It's like, you got to get it out. Oh, I got an Effenheimer stuck. I got to get it out. cussing at the TV was normal for us, and we were weird kids. One night while playing and watching TV in the basement with my brother, a toothpaste commercial came on, and I can't remember the brand of toothpaste, but I do remember everything else. The woman was talking about how the toothpaste was good for her family's dental hygiene and how it was changing their lives. And my brother burst out, F your family, B. I can only use the first initials. And I started to laugh, but the woman on TV looked straight at him and said, "Excuse me?" At this point, we still thought that something might be happening with the plot of the commercial and that would make her say that. And I chimed in, "You're an ugly W," to make my brother laugh. But to my horror, the woman then turned and glared at me and sternly asked where our mother was. Whoa. Now, I would like to say that we had a comeback, but honestly, we both just froze and stared at the television. The woman looked down and began to cry, holding her hand over her mouth and glancing at us. She suddenly looked like a worn-out, beaten woman, and the shiny commercial lighting was gone. For lack of a better way of explaining it, she looked real. All this happened within about 30 seconds, and then the commercial ended. I remember my brother cried afterwards, and I told him to settle down, and we were glued to the TV for hours after to see if the same commercial would come back on again, and this time we wouldn't say anything to see if it was just a coincidence, but it never came back on. I'm not saying it was a ghost. It could have been a coincidence, but I know I never saw that commercial again, and my brother and I both vividly remember that commercial, and we bring it up often. Thanks for the chance to share my story. Wow. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's bizarre. Very cool, though, but very bizarre. Huh. Wow. I guess the conditions were just right. What a horrible thing to say. You got one chance at a spirit conversation, and you cuss her out because you're flexing your swear words. Oh, man. Oh, my God. It's like the internet, all right? For the first time in human history, we can reach out and, and talk to people over the face of the earth in real time. And it's this amazing discovery and stuff. And people are being absolute dicks to each other and wasting our lives watching kitten videos. And I'm guilty of that as well. I watch the most stupid videos from time to time when I get some time. But what do you do? All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.